The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning and happy 4th of July weekend there, Jefferson and Jeffersonians. Hope everybody's having a good weekend. You guys are doing the barbecues, you guys are doing the camping trips, you guys are all having a good time and doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I hope you kind of remember what the weekend's for and acknowledge the great things that America was able to accomplish with its independence and see the parallels of what we're doing with the state of Jefferson as we attempt to escape the imperial power of Commie-fornistan. So, as always, I'm here with Wynn Carpenter from Shasta County. How you doing, Wynn?
Good. Good morning.
How goes it?
So far, so good. Commie-fornistan, huh?
Commie-fornistan.
I like it.
Well, after these gun laws that we'll be discussing went through, I've heard everything from California to Californistan to Commie-fornistan to some words I can't say on the air. So it's been interesting.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we're going to be discussing Jerry Brown and our state legislature and some of the new gun laws that have gone through and the things that are going to be going on with that. And you know, really, what a gift Jerry's given us in the state of Jefferson.
It's one of those double-edged swords there. You know, you hate to get what he's given you, but at the same time, we can use it back against him. So
we can.
As long as people wake up and pay attention.
And I more and more every day, they're a little bit more awake, and there's a little bit more of them. And
they don't go off the rails.
No.
Don't go
I know.
Off the rails.
And I understand the frustration out there, folks, but stay patient. You know, like they said, wait until you see the whites of their eyes.
That's right.
You know, and there was a protest down at the Capitol yesterday. There was some good people, and I want to compliment them on a job well done. They were peaceful. They remained calm. They didn't provoke any situations. They did not allow themselves to be provoked. Mm-hmm. They did very good in standing. And I believe that there will be more protests of this nature coming in a organized fashion and in the manner that it needs to occur at this time.
I believe you're right.
They just keep swinging at us, don't they?
They do.
And, you know, sooner or later, somebody's going to swing back.
Yep, but we have to do it the right way.
We do.
And we have to be above reproach when we do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for kicking them in the nuts and running the other direction.
I didn't say that wasn't part of the plan, but do it with a smile.
Yeah, exactly, with a smile. You kind of asked for it.
Yep.
So, but yeah, Governor Jerry Brown did sign 6 of the 11 gunpocalypse bills, as everybody's been calling it. And this has become kind of standard now, is where our state legislature mm-hmm. flushes a bunch of anti-gun bills, and the governor passes half of them, and a bunch of people go, we really dodged a bullet. He only passed half of them.
Yeah, but the half that he did pass are pointed right directly
insane.
At you.
Insane.
Yeah.
And unenforceable.
Right.
They're unenforceable laws. Who's supposed to be... Oops. Sorry, the phone's on, ladies and gentlemen. Forgot about that.
We didn't go out something other.
So, but who's supposed to be the bullet police? In what manner are they supposed to figure out whether your ammunition came from Oregon, California, Idaho, Mexico, Canada? Oh, yeah, Canada didn't have any bullets. But, you know, how are they to know that?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, if you follow the logical conclusion to that, what is the one way that they're able to regulate products of that kind, such as cigarettes and booze? Well, you need a California tax stamp to identify it as coming from California, don't you?
Tax stamp. That sounds very familiar. Let's see, 1770. That's where it came from. Yeah, duck stamp.
Yeah.
The king was doing that.
Yeah, and the people kind of had an issue with it, didn't they?
Yeah, they dumped a little bit in the harbor.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, about $3 million worth in that time's money.
Yeah, that's a boatload of cash right there, truly.
Yeah, the crown wasn't too happy. So, but if you follow the logical conclusion of some of these laws, they pass a lot of these laws, and everybody goes, oh, well, yeah, it's a stupid law, but it's unenforceable. But then they come back and find a way to make it enforceable.
Yeah.
It's this little mission creep that they do, a little bit at a time, and a little bit at a time, and a little bit at a time. And I was actually arguing with a couple of good friends of mine from Minnesota last night. And they were arguing with me about background checks. And I said, yeah, I got an issue with background checks. And most responsible gun owners would look at me like all of a sudden I just sprouted horns and they want me to go in the corner and go, shh, shh, shh. Well, why do I have a problem with background checks? Because if you open the door that little bit, they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And, you know, like Minnesota just started their background checks, 7-8 years ago, things like that. And I said, yeah, well, that's how we started in California. And you look at us now and say, your guys' gun laws are insane. Well, how did they get going?
Background checks. Yeah.
And is there a way to put in a system of verifying who should own guns or who shouldn't own guns that the government doesn't control? Because sooner or later, they take that power and they begin to dictate who those people are.
Mm-hmm.
And they start out very simple. Okay, felons can't have guns. Well, now it's felons and some misdemeanors. Now it's felons and these people. Now it's these people who other people don't like and think are dangerous. Now it's these people on this list. Now it's these people over here.
And now it's you.
And now it's you. Exact. Very good.
Yep.
It's the mission creep. Okay. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, we went round and round on this, and they said, well, how do you expect to stop crazy people from shooting up schools? And I said, did the background checks stop that from happening?
No.
And they said, well, if it catches 1 out of 100 people, then it's worth it. And I said, well, what would stop it is other people with firearms.
Not having schools as soft zones.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, if they know that every classroom has a gun in it, and the instructor, teachers, whomever, are well-versed on how to use them, then guess what? They're not going to go there.
That's how the Israelis stopped it.
That's right.
Back in the late 60s and early 70s, they suffered many terrorist attacks that were hitting their schools, going after their children, and they instituted a program where the teachers were trained and had firearms in the classroom. Guess what? They haven't had one since 1973.
Must work.
Terrorists are cowards. They want soft targets.
They do.
That's the entire point.
And who's going to go in a school? I mean, jack wagons that go in there and shoot up a school? Mm-hmm. Really? We're going to allow our most precious commodity be terrorized and victimized by some jack wagon that it just went off the rails or some whatever their reason is. But we're going to allow that to happen?
Yeah, and our best response is to surround them with rainbows, unicorn farts, and best intentions.
Those don't work.
No. And I was trying to point out, I said, okay, if there's an individual that can't be trusted with a gun, okay, why is he on the streets at all? Because that individual is going to go get a gun and do something with it.
Yeah.
Do you think he has any respect for the law? The law's not going to stop him from doing what it is. Murder has been, you know, against the nature of people since the beginning of recording history. That's one of our first laws. Thou shalt not.
Right.
It hasn't stopped him. It hasn't slowed him down. Gun control hasn't slowed him down. So if that person is at the point that you can't trust them with a firearm, why are they in society?
Right.
And then they brought up the issue of, well, what about people with mental health issues? You can't really lock them away. Well, we did used to have facilities for those people, and in intents and purposes, we did lock them away for the betterment of society. Okay, and that's a very adult decision. That's a very adult thing that as these people progress and you realize that they're a danger to society, why are they in society?
Right.
Why are we disarming society? Why are we impairing everybody else to accommodate the irregularities?
We're dumbing it down.
We're dumbing it down.
Yep.
We're bringing us all to the lowest common denominator.
Well, we're bringing ourselves to our knees, and that's the problem. Then all they need to do is bend you over and put your head on the chopping block. Guess what?
Exactly.
That's where we're headed.
So
yeah, that's what's going to happen.
I know, and there's some other things that we're going to get into, some other things that are going on, another movement that has popped up that's very troubling that people need to be aware of. So, yeah, we're going to be beating the drum about gun laws, some of the things that are going on, and, of course, the exciting meeting that's coming up here in a couple of weeks for us Church of Glad Tidings at 1179 Eager Road in Live Oak. It's going to be our first assembly meeting. We're going to be identifying the number of things that we need to do. We're going to be prioritizing them. We're going to be assigning committees and people that want to work on those projects. And let's get this project done and move to the next.
Let's get
this done and move to the next as we march towards statehood. And speaking of marching on towards, we better get to our first break. If you got any question or comment today, we're here at 605-4567, KCNR, Free Fire Radio for the North State.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax. And let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
As Californians, we are fortunate to live in such a rich agricultural state. California agriculture generates roughly $37.5 billion annually, more than any other state. Orchard Nutrition Center believes that buying local not only supports North State agriculture, but decreases the amount of time between harvest to your family's table, resulting in the freshest, most nutritious meat and produce available. Hat Creek Grown is one of the largest providers of grass-fed beef in California and is a featured vendor of Orchard Nutrition Center. Grass-fed beef has about one-half to one-third the amount of fat than grain-fed beef. It is lower in calories and can also lower LDL cholesterol levels. Hat Creek Grown is family-owned with its roots dating back to 1903. Delicious, local, natural. Hat Creek Grown at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Redding. Now open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week to better serve your family. Orchard Nutrition Center.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
The voice in my head, hey, it's telling me that I should stay here in my bed because it's 2 in the night. Can I sleep when it's 2 in the night? Cause the fire in my soul, hey, the fire in my soul got me ready to fight, and I'm ready for war. Whoa, 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 whoa. Climbed the streets and I found my way over. You know I've been so lost in translation, like I'm fighting for truth in Babylon, trying to find my peace in the zone of war.
Even when the day comes,
yeah.
Action, now watch me kick in the door. But what if the day comes?
times when we go from sun to moon soon. Who can I run to, run to, run to? Will you be loyal? Will you be true when I need you? Say, climb these streets and I found my way over. You know I've been so lost in translation. Like I'm fighting for truth in Babylon. Trying to find my peace in the zone of war.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind here as we continue our march towards freedom of the free state.
Sovereignty.
Yay.
Responsibility. Individual personal responsibility.
Personal liberty.
Personal liberty.
Able to make your own way in the world.
Hmm.
The ability to fail and get up and try again once again.
There you go.
So, but as we were talking about California's new gun insanity. And, you know, some of the conversations that have been had. And, you know, one of the things that they said to me is, well, I don't care what the Constitution says at this point. It's time to be adult and alter the Second Amendment and do the things necessary to protect people. Hmm. And I just said, you want to be adult? Then let's have a really an adult conversation. No law that you pass is going to stop crazy people. No law that you pass is going to stop tyrants. The only thing that's going to stop tyrants is good people with the capacity to defend themselves.
And that's having guns.
Well, that's the thing is tyrants, criminals, and lunatics do not exist because of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment exists because there are tyrants, lunatics, and criminals, and there's nothing that you can do to stop them.
There you go.
Other than stop them.
Then stop them, yep.
So it is really time to stop with the nonsense arguments, the childish thought processes. And, you know, one of the biggest thing that the enemy did when they first started to hit us is they removed our capacity to talk, to have a sensible discourse. They made everything faux pas or taboo, or, you know, off limits. You can't talk about that. You can't say that. You can't use those words. You can't use that argument.
You have to be hypersensitive.
Yeah, you have to be hypersensitive. And that's something that we need to overcome as well. Really quickly, we've got a phone call from Gary. You there?
Morning, Gary.
Did we lose him?
Gary?
Gary, are you there? Hello, Gary.
Yep. Okay, Gary. Well, call back in, Gary.
Yep.
Sorry about
back.
That. So, yeah, we need to take back our language, okay? And one of the things that irritates me, because I am a very colorful painter in vulgarity sometimes when my hair is up, is this nonsensical thought that if you become upset or angered or use vulgarity, somehow instantly you no longer have a point, you've lost the argument. Well, no, vulgarity and things like that exist for a very good reason in language. It expresses to you the depth of concern and anger and frustration that I have, and I'm bringing that forth in conversation rather than punching you in the head to express it. So it's arguments like that limit our capacity to have a civil discourse, okay? And if you can't stand up to a couple of bad words or the understanding of how vehemently somebody feels, then you got a problem. Maybe you should just go to your safe space and be quiet and let the adults in the room figure it out.
And maybe you shouldn't be in the conversation.
Yeah, I am a fierce defender of my ability to use my vulgar vocabulary to the best of my ability.
Well, you were talking about being an artist. You do paint some pretty nice portraits once in a while.
Every once in a while. And it is. It's an expression of my anger. Yeah. And by limiting that, you are limiting people's ability to express how they really feel and to what level they feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's language is a safety valve.
Yeah.
You know, it allows people to know, hey, you're approaching a threshold here.
Yeah.
The your stupidity is about to exceed its quota. So, with that, Gary, you're on the line.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, gentlemen. I hope you will join me. I'm planning to send my 30-round magazines to Governor Brown.
I'm not sure which way you mean that, Gary.
You what?
Not sure which way you mean that.
Lead first?
Well, yeah, 30-round magazines. You know, that'd be the gun magazines, the hunting and fishing magazines, etc. You cut them in a circle, and then you put a, you know, lag bolt or something to hold them all together, and we send them off to the good governor. That's what he wants, right?
30-round, I got it. Oh, play on words, I like it.
Oh.
Kathy, what else do you expect from an English teacher, huh? Now, your help, I heard that there was a shooting in a restaurant in South Carolina a couple days ago. It was on Facebook or something, and a fellow or somebody with concealed weapons took out the shooter. Do you know anything about that?
There are several instances in the United States every day where crimes and shootings are stopped by CCW holders, by people that are exercising their right to bear arms that are not reported by the media.
Right. On this one, I heard that the media was no way would they carry it, because obviously it's contrary to their storyline.
Yeah, right. It's against the agenda.
Yep.
And the agenda is disarmament of the people. And that's part of that adult conversation that we need to have, that it's not about safety. It's not about protecting anyone, because none of those laws will protect anybody. It's about disarming us so they can continue with their agenda of destroying the Constitution and subjugating the United States of America. That's absolutely what it's about. Bringing up one, there was one yesterday, or it was either yesterday or Friday, there was actually a bank robbery that was averted by a CCW holder.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
You know, there's stories like this every day. There's, the 11-year-old girl up in Montana that was able to protect herself from two guys that were trying to break in and rob her house and rape her with her dad's shotgun. You know, if that shotgun hadn't been there, who knows what would have happened. I mean, these stories are all over, but you won't hear them. You have to go look for them to find them. And every day you can find a valid argument for the Second Amendment.
There you go.
And like you take a page from your book, the obvious answer to these new gun laws is do not comply.
Do not.
It's that simple.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're right.
And I believe that there's a great many people that will not be complying.
Right. Well, thank you very much for taking my call. Have a great weekend, and I'm looking forward to our convention the 23rd of this month.
There you go.
It's going to be great.
It'll be good. Thanks, Gary.
And if you disagree with my argument or my assertions that it's about safety for the people, it's not about disarming us, then let me ask you, why is there no law enforcement exemption in those laws? If we cannot trust police officers with weapons, who can we trust? Who does the government trust if they don't trust the police?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, too. People forget the government is we the people. We are the government, and the people that are running these agencies and working there are the employees of the government, which is we the people.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we allowing our employees to dictate to us these gun laws? Governor Brown works for us.
Yeah, we hired him.
We hired him, yeah.
Twice.
More than following his father's footsteps, really. So we hired him. It's kind of like the Hillary thing. We hired him. Are we going to hire Hillary, too? Really?
No, I'm starting to think Hillary's going to prison. I'm going to save that for the next hour. By the way, we are Sovereign Minds is going to be doing a couple of reruns, some great interviews from days past, but the State of Jefferson is going to bleed over into Sovereign Minds for a little bit, so you get us for a little bit extra today. And then coming up is going to be a fantastic interview with a World War II bombardier, or was a member of a bomber crew that was shot down and spent a lot of time in German POW camps and things like that. It's a fantastic story. And then they'll conclude with a Ted Nugent interview from October 18th that is great. It's kind of a timeless piece, and it touches really on what's going on in California with the gun laws and the things, and Ted Nugent and his middle finger of defiance party.
Telling everybody they're number one.
Yeah. So, with that, we are at the bottom of the hour and ready for our next break. So, you want to call in or have any questions or comments, give us a call at 605-4567, and we'll see you on the other side of this one.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. And you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Carl and the Bot. We're declaring our independence on the 4th of July, and all the employees of KCNR 1460 will be celebrating our Day of Independence. That is, everybody except Kyle and Jared, who'll be doing the Colt 45s baseball July 4th that evening, starting at 7:15. Regular programming begins again on July 5th. Have a wonderful 4th of July, and enjoy your Day of Independence and what it means.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
You've got to. to give him credit for a son of a gun of a gunner was he.
Shouting praise the Lord.
That's it. That's the fundamental argument that they're trying to bury under a mountain of just crap and erroneous arguments and feel-good nonsense.
I love it. Praise the Lord. And it's the ammunition.
It's about staying free. It's about being able to defend yourself, defend your life, defend your liberty, defend your property from whoever that may be, whether it's the criminal on the street or the lunatic that walks in, or yes, the government man that wants to come and take it all away.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anybody out there that really can make a valid argument that the government's not trying to take away our rights and our liberties a little bit at a time every day?
No.
I don't think anybody could make the reasoned argument that they're not.
Yeah.
You know,
too much proof to indicate that they are.
Well, okay. The ammunition laws. Mm-hmm. Now you have to pass a background check to buy ammunition. Well, the background check in the state of California to purchase a firearm has already been ruled unconstitutional by the court. So how can you pass an ammunition ban? How is that not unconstitutional?
They're just going to keep sliding them and sliding them after us until we're completely overwhelmed by all of these and don't know which way to turn.
You can't go to the range and hand your buddy your gun for him to try out and shoot until he's passed a background check. Well, how are you supposed to verify that? How are you supposed to certify that?
You just asked your buddy, did you pass the background check? No. Oh, I'm sorry, dude. Can't fire my gun.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
What? No.
Yeah, you know, and your buddy wants to use your gun. He has to use his own ammunition that he purchased after he did a background check? Yeah, I'll let you shoot my gun, but you got to buy your own box of ammo.
Yeah.
It's insane. And, you know,
restrictions on steroids is what it is.
Well, as our own sheriff said, who am I supposed to assign to the bullet police?
Right.
How do you even enforce that?
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people go, yeah, it's a stupid law, but they can't enforce it. They will find a way. That's how mission creep works. They get their foot in the door, and then they kick that sucker off the hinges, and then they rape your family and burn your house down and move on to the next house.
There you go.
That's what they do. That's this, and where we're at now started with mission creep, because somebody somewhere said, well, let's be adult about it. I don't care what the Constitution says. We need to have background checks.
Yeah, they were really being adult about it. They'd look at the Constitution and back off.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I could agree to is people pass some kind of certification to qualify that they know what they're doing. You know, during that process, you should be able to vet some people out, and it doesn't need to be the government vetting those people out.
No.
There have to be good solutions.
Right.
That do not impinge on the very ideal. Do you think that our founding fathers were foolish people? Do you think that they were stupid people that really didn't understand, they didn't get it? They didn't have lunatics back then?
Of course, they've always had lunatics.
They didn't have criminals back then?
Always had those, too.
They were the criminals.
They were the rebels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, do you understand that it was the criminals writing the law to protect themselves from the government? That's what it was.
Yeah.
It's
crazy.
Yeah. There's just a fundamental misunderstanding. With that, we have Howard on the line.
Good morning, Howard.
Good morning. I just have a kind of a statement, and I would like to hear you guys' opinion. But one of the things that I've done, not because of these new laws, but because of the opportunities, is when I visit over in Nevada, I have a place over there that I go and visit. I usually go by gun stores and buy a bunch of ammo, and I also have my sister and brother-in-law way up in Beaverton, Oregon, and I have my brother-in-law look for ammo when it's on sale, cheaper, no tax, and he'll pick up a bunch for himself and myself, and I'll pay him for it and bring it back. So I don't see how this business in California is going to keep people from getting ammunition in a way. It's a little inconvenient, but anyway, that's my point.
Agreed. And it's forcing us to do that.
Yeah, and it's forcing people into criminality and criminal acts. And that's a perfectly good question. How are you going to enforce that?
Right.
The same way that they do it with other things. Tax stamp.
Yeah.
I bet you money that's floating around somewhere.
Yep.
Is because how do you prove where that ammunition came from? Well, here's my California tax stamp. Just like they do it with booze, just like they do it with cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a small problem with this new law. Is that not an infringement upon interstate commerce?
Interesting.
If you tell your citizens you cannot purchase a product in another state and bring it into this state, is that not an infringement of interstate commerce, which is also unconstitutional?
Yes, it is.
Think Jerry cares?
No.
No.
He's trying to create his own nation out of California. Keep that in the back of your mind.
Yeah, and that's something that we should...
On the forefront of your mind.
...should touch on is we have become aware of a new organization that apparently has started putting their framework in place. They're being fairly quiet about themselves. But if you look at their website, you look at some of the stuff they have a marketing campaign. It's well-funded. It's well-done. And these people are known as Yes California. And what Yes California seeks to do is secede California from the United States of America and to form their own independent republic nation.
And remember, he just said secede.
Secede.
So they want to escape from the nation.
Yes.
Which is illegal.
But treason.
It's treasonous, and that's what they want to do.
Now, looking into this organization and what they're up to, they want to form a independent sovereign republic of California made out of six states, of all things.
Hmm.
And we got looking into this, okay, who's the money behind this? Who are the people behind this? Well, it is a... Their main speaker is an individual who traveled to Russia for several years. It was a English as a second language teacher over in Russia until he moved to the Islamic Republic of Tatarstan, where he converted to Islam and took a Muslim wife and has now returned to the United States as a citizen with his Muslim wife and his Muslim beliefs and is now the head of Yes California seeking to form an independent republic. One would be left to assume that that would be an Islamic republic, would one not?
Interesting.
Then you look at their lead speaker, who is a the lead author for a Japanese publishing house. I can't remember the exact name. I can never pronounce it right. But literally the name translates into the third moon. The crescent moon, the symbol of Islam, and got digging into them and their backing and their funding, and they are an Islamic publishing house. Then I came across a thing called the Sasakawa Peace Foundation. Now, for those of you that have read the Shasta Lantern and have listened to the show, you know that the Sasakawa Peace Foundation is tied to Ryoichi Sasakawa, who was a Japanese war criminal who was... pardoned by the United States and went to work for the CIA to combat communism. He's also the guy that helped overthrow President Sukarno in Indonesia. President Sukarno was the one that took Indonesia away from the Dutch, from the Netherlands, and removed their colonialism and became the independent nation of Indonesia. Well, after that happened, he was overthrown by a general named Suharto, who was backed by Royal Dutch Shell, who wanted the oil fields. Now, Ryoichi Sasakawa is the guy that provided the troops and the weaponry for Suharto to overthrow Sukarno. Now, there was a guy named Edmund Pat Brown who was the banker for all of this. He put together all of the banking interests and all of the money to make this happen. Edmund Pat Brown, yes, Jerry Brown's dad, actually set up two companies to have this happen. One company was operated out of California that he had 100% interest and control in, and the other one was set up out of Hong Kong, where Edmund Pat Brown had 50% control and Ryoichi Sasakawa had the other 50% of control. Now, at the time that this happened, the very next thing that happened is Edmund Pat Brown's son, Jerry Moonbeam Brown, started a little agency called CARB, the California Air Resources Board. The very first regulation that CARB passed was about the quality of crude oil being refined in the state of California, and it was a sulfur law. It was about the amount of sulfur that was allowed to be refined in the state of California in your fuel oil. Well, it just so happened that the only oil in the world that met those qualifications was Royal Dutch Shell oil from Indonesia and Daddy Edmund Brown's oil fields. They got rich off of this. Huh. This is the Sasakawa Foundation. They have deep ties to the Brown family. The bullet train, the Japanese-style bullet train, the original funder of that, Ryoichi Sasakawa. Now, these are the people behind Yes California that are looking to remove California from the United States. So I guess Jerry Brown figures if he can't be president of the United States, he'll be president of his own nation, of California. These people are out there. You can look them up. You can look into their PAC. We're looking into their funding and who gives them money. And they are looking to make the push in 2020 for secession.
Okay, so Edmund Brown, did he do this when he was governor of California?
No, this was after he was governor.
And then Jerry, did he do this when he was governor?
Yes, when his first term when he was governor is when he set up the CARB regulations that ensured that only his dad's oil out of Indonesia would be refined in California and sold.
Hmm. Sounds like a little bit of a problem there.
I believe they refer to it as racketeering.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's an ongoing criminal enterprise, and they're still tied into California with the bullet train and several other things, the land around Jerry Brown's Calusa Ranch, mm-hmm. San Juan Bank, that's Ryoichi Sasakawa. See, Sasakawa ran a couple of private organizations in Japan, like the Bank of Tokyo, mm-hmm. Mitsubishi.
Okay.
Things like that. This is a very powerful man. He actually started the World Health Organization under the United Nations. There's a statue of him in the lobby. He was an advisor to many presidents. We've got photos of him jogging with people like Jimmy Carter, things like that. They are also big in with using the World Health Organization for experimental sciences. Remember some years ago, I think it was in Chile, there was an AIDS program where over 300,000 women were sterilized against their knowledge and their will. That was the Sasakawa Peace Foundation. That was Ryoichi Sasakawa. So,
nice.
Ryoichi Sasakawa was also the acknowledged head of the Yakuza. This is not a good guy. He's since deceased, but he has three sons. And one son runs the Yakuza interests. One son runs the industrial interests like Tokyo Bank and Mitsubishi, things like that. And the other son is the United Nations head of the Sasakawa Peace Foundation and things like that. This guy was notorious for what he did. For those of you that know your history and the sacking and rape of Nanking, where they killed almost 10 million Chinese, raped them, murdered them, pillaged them, Ryoichi Sasakawa.
Nice.
There's some of the medical experiments that were carried out during the war under, I want to say, Unit 714 or something, something along that lines, where basically they took Chinese and performed horrible medical experiments upon him. Was a guy named Ishi Shinjiro, which was a close personal friend of Ryoichi Sasakawa, and continued his work under the Sasakawa Peace Foundation and the World Health Organization afterwards. These people are very closely tied to Jerry Brown and the Yes California movement.
So those influences are part of the foundation that will develop this Yes California, which is this secessionist state that's going to be Islamic rule and all this other garbage.
Well, we have some very serious questions and concerns about it when the president of the organization and the main speaker are Islamists, work for Islamist institutions, and is funded by a foundation that was set up and run by a guy that was referred to as the happy fascist his whole life.
Well, if that doesn't get your... Excuse me, get your hackles up.
Yeah.
You're dead.
And this is not tinfoil hat we're discussing here. You can go look all of this up and verify it. It's very easily found if you just take the time to look it up and research it. It's right there. So
that's almost too much.
Almost.
No, any one of those things is way too much. And I just don't get, you know, how these people can get away with this and nobody's bringing it to light. Nobody's exposing it. Nobody's putting the whole total package out there indicating that this is all going
on.
Nobody's
looking.
Nobody's looking.
Nobody's looking.
And then those that would be looking don't care. They're being paid off.
No, the press, the people that are supposed to be looking,
they
call the government and say, hey, what are we supposed to say? Where's the press release you want us to report? They don't report. They've gotten lazy. They're propaganda for the machine, for the state.
Yeah.
They don't research anything. They're a joke.
Yeah.
So they're as duplicitous as everybody else. With that, we've run over a little bit and need to get off to our last break. And remember, as we conclude this, we're going to be bleeding over into Sovereign Minds time a little bit. And we'll be discussing some things about independence and 4th of July and some good stuff like that.
There you go.
Oh.
Well, the truth, well, it hurts to say, I'm going to pack up my bags and I'm going to go away. I'm going to split. I can't stand it. I'm going to give it up and quit. Ain't never coming back. But before I get to going, I got to say, I know you used to love me, but that was yesterday. And the truth, I won't fight it. When the love starts burning, you got to do what's right. Oh, lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more. Oh, lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Green grass is everywhere, so come on in and pick up some ethanol-free 93 and get started on the weed-eating lawnmowers. We are filling propane bottles like a factory. If you're in a hurry, we have the exchange program also. We have a lot of race car fuel ready to go. If now's the time you want to talk about upgrading your kerosene heater or on-demand water heater, give Johnny a call. He's doing a lot of free estimates. We have bulk oils in your container or ours, and a lot to choose from. Open on Saturday in Reading till 3:30. So stop in and say hello. Northern Lights Energy. When you want to talk to a real person, not an answering machine, give us a try. Reading, Corning, Weaverville. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company. Northern Lights Energy.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, July 7th in Elements Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for a fabulous evening with Bobby Veramontes on drums, Bruce Kalin on bass, Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, and my special guest, Paul Sen on trumpet. A night of the American Songbook from 7 to 9 p.m. Call 243-3377 for reservations. Romance on the River, July 7th. See you there.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
All right. Well, as we're wrapping up the last little bit here for Jefferson State of Mind, again, we invite you guys all for the first hour of Sovereign Minds, where Wynn and I are going to poach ourselves a little radio time to keep talking about Jefferson and some of the things that are going on, and some things that we kind of wanted to bring out for Independence Day and bring it home to everybody. Out of all of the times that we need to remember what Independence Day is for and what was given and what was sacrificed for that independence, it's now.
It is now.
It's sorely now.
And everybody has to do their part.
We are under attack in a manner and fashion that we have never been. And our situation is dire.
Well, the thing is, you know, some people say, well, what can I do? Well, you can get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Get involved and find out what needs to be done. I mean, you may not have the ideas or knowledge right now, but guess what? As you start having dialogue with people, you learn what's going on and you find out where you can contribute. And it may be minor, it may be major, who knows? But just get involved.
Yeah.
Get out there and get involved and do your part. That's your responsibility as a sovereign citizen. That is your responsibility. And if you haven't done it to date, let's make it happen.
It's your civic duty.
Civic duty.
And it's time that we bring back those words as well.
And you don't want to meet your maker and find out that, you know, yeah, you're not able to come in because guess what?
You didn't do it.
You sat on the sofa pushing the remote button watching TV.
Yeah.
You know, no, not going
to
happen.
You sat around and waited for me to fix it for you, didn't you?
Yes, you did.
When what I told you to do is go forth and do my will.
Yes.
So, and that's, we openly invite anybody and everybody that is a resident of the state of Jefferson counties, come to our meeting July 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Doors open at 8. The meeting begins at 9. That's 1179 Eager Road in Live Oak. It's the Church of Glad Tidings. It's an amazing campus that they're letting us have the run of for the day. Come and talk to your fellow Jeffersonians. Take an interest, take a duty in forming the free state.
Yep.
And what you want it to look like, because we really do want a free state for all.
That's right.
We want everybody to be able to live their life and pursue their happiness in a manner that is befitting to them without government interference.
That's right.
That's what the American dream is. The American dream does not guarantee you success.
Nope.
It does not guarantee you riches. It does not guarantee you a great many things, but what it does guarantee you is the opportunity to try and get it for yourself, and if you fail, the ability to get up and do it again.
There you go.
It is the ability to keep what you make. It is the ability to do a great many things that our government is pushing away from us, that is taking away from us.
And not only to keep what you make, but to pass it on to your children
.
Or whoever you select. You know, that's the thing. Instead of the government coming in and saying, oh, no, they don't get to do it. They don't get to take it. Or they can take a portion of it. We're going to take our 75% first off the top. Yeah, not happening.
And they've already robbed our children's posterity. They've robbed our children's piggy banks. They're stealing our culture. They're stealing our history. They're stealing our Constitution from them.
Yeah.
And it has to stop somewhere. And where it stops is here, at the state of Jefferson, the first free state in years.
Yeah.
That will be established under the Constitution of the United States of America, with a state constitution that is cast iron and cast in stone, that will not be altered to impair, or infringe or impede upon the Constitution or the rights of the people to live their lives in a free manner.
Where you have representation, and that's what it's about. When you vote for somebody, you know that the vote is going to count, and when you vote for something, the vote is going to count, instead of somebody monopolizing it in some office somewhere where they want to do it for some self-serving purposes.
Take the new gun laws.
Yeah.
The second thing that they did after they passed those gun laws was pass a law that exempted themselves from them. That is tyranny.
Yeah.
That is bold, blatant, in-your-face tyranny. We are better than you.
Now, does that stand so that when they are exempt from those laws, does it exempt them as the position in which they hold, or the name of who they are? Because if it's the senator so-and-so, is it senator as the senator in that capacity only, or is it him, John Doe, as he leaves the office?
Both.
Yeah, see, isn't that nice?
Yeah. So if you've attained the position of the elite, if you've become one of the monarchs or one of the barons or the dukes or anything, you're exempt from those gun laws. And when you leave office, because you've been one of the boys, you're exempt from those laws.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So stay tuned for the next hour as we have a special edition of Jefferson State of Mind / Jefferson State of Sovereign Minds. we'll see you right here after the news.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. 3.5 hours of questions from the FBI for Hillary Clinton yesterday as the investigation of her email usage while Secretary of State continues. Will charges be leveled?
There won't be an indictment, and I think that means that she did what many secretaries of state have done in the past.
Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. Former Republican Senator Rick Santorum sees it differently, though.
If she was not Hillary Clinton, if she was a undersecretary of state that had done the same types of things, number one, he or she would have been fired, and yes, they would have been brought up under prosecution by the Justice Department.
Both men spoke on ABC TV's This Week program. People around the world are reflecting on the life of famed Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel, who died yesterday at the age of 87. It was a book that brought him global attention.
The publication of Night in 1959 was really a watershed moment.